Hello there, fantasy basketball friends, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be going over some news of the weekend. We'll be talking about the Week 12 schedule, a little bit looking at our rankings, and talking about Houston, looking at the players that you want to own on that team and maybe some players you want to drop. To help me to do that today, I'm joined by Daniel A. Green. Daniel, what's going on, my man?
Another weekend is over, Mark. That is very sad, but get to end the weekend on a beautiful note, and it's doing the podcast with you. So, you know, not all is lost.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. How you been, man? How you been? Good weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a good weekend. It got pretty warm here in Boise, which is always exciting for the winter times.
What is how warm?
Well, relatively warm, I guess I should say. All the snow melted off, which was nice.
Because like today in New York, like we touched like 60 degrees.
No, we're not up that high. We might have been up to like in the mid 40s today.
Still, that's pretty. I mean, for like middle of January, that's like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice.
Actually, should we just do a weather show for the whole hour?
Sure.
I mean, how great would that be?
I mean, haven't had any snow all year, right?
No, I'm looking tomorrow. It's going to drop from 60 today, Mark, to third down to 36 for tomorrow. That's a big drop off.
That is a big. You might get some snow.
No, it's all gonna be sunny. Oh, actually, there looks like a chance of snow on Tuesday.
There you go.
Huh. Look at that.
You can build. Can you build a snowman? Like, if you wanted to build a snowman,
I would have no idea. No, I would have no clue how to do that.
You know how to build a snowman?
No, I really don't. In fact, at this point, I would hire someone to build it. Like, if someone, like, let's say I had I had kids at this point in my life, and I like, you know, daddy, like, you know, can I get a snowman? I would literally like drug my kid, just, you know, so he'd fall asleep with like OD on NyQuil or something. And then hire someone to quick build a snowman, and then wake my son up and be like, son, look what I've built.
I'm not sure you're ready for parenthood.
No, I'm not. What do you mean? I'm clearly not.
You're clearly not.
Is that like the final test before you can be a father? Like they say, build this snowman.
Maybe they just give you a scenario and see whether or not you drug your children. And then they go, yeah, he's not ready.
Yeah. I think drug was the wrong verb to use.
No, it's basically you just roll a snowball in the snow. I'm just asking if you have a place to go to make a snowman, and that's a no.
Well, that would be a no too. But I mean, you're giving me too much credit. Like, you think that I actually could roll? Like, I still remember as a kid, I had issues with rolling a good enough snowball to make I was the worst snowman maker out of all of my friends by far.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that was something you could be bad at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
My 5-year-old knows how to make a snowman.
Dude, they're not as easy as you would think. I'm telling you.
All right.
Well, and also, like, when you're – because, like, you have to have different sizes, right? Like, doesn't the bottom
has to be the biggest? Yeah. Yeah, the bottom has to be bigger.
I mean, so it's like, you know.
Sort of just, like, what I thought was common sense at this point, but maybe not.
Although, I mean, I haven't really built – it's got to have been a good 20.
I'm just imagining you in Central Park now, like with 3 snowballs, different sizes, and you having no idea which one goes on top.
No, if you gave me just 3 snowballs and you told me then to construct a snowman, then I could do it.
Yeah.
I could figure out which ball goes where. And that's, wow, we're getting into this show is, that did not sound like a G-rated show. Which ball goes where?
Oh my God.
Moving on, my friend.
All right, let's get past the weather. It's Monday, beginning of week 12. So well into the fantasy season. We are going to keep going with our series where we look into each NBA team and talk about their fantasy prospects. But it took a bit longer than we expected, Daniel. So what we're going to do is we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of news at the beginning of each show. We talk about some current events. And then we're going to get into the specifics of each team at the second half of the show. So if there's one or the other that you prefer, you can skip ahead to listen to us talk about Houston or stick around for the news. I would say the biggest news from Sunday.
Wait, can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that.
That is a sprinkler sound effect.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, go ahead.
We're gonna have to work on our sound effects at some point.
Yeah, we need a bigger budget. So if anyone wants to sponsor the show, just so we can get better sound effects, you know, that would be great for us.
Absolutely. Biggest news of the day from Sunday is that Brooklyn Now, I guess the way it went down is Coach Lionel Hollins got fired and GM Billy King kind of got fired, but kind of got reassigned and kind of stepped down. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but it seems like he's still employed with the team to some capacity, but he's no longer the general manager, but nobody else is filling that position.
Well, right.
And I actually heard that he's going to help hire the new general manager.
Correct. But this is how much of a joke that their franchise is. You basically demote slash fire your current GM, and then who is going to help you pick the new GM? The guy that you just fired and demoted. So it's like,
Is he going to be in the meetings and be like, I have a great candidate. He has a lot of experience. He's worked, you know, he knows a lot of the people internally. It's me, but
yeah, I mean,
he's got to be a really excellent candidate.
Nothing would surprise me. Yeah, it makes zero sense whatsoever. And as me and you were discussing pre-show, like this move to me, like firing Lionel Hollins, which I'm in by no means think he's a solid coach or even a good coach.
You really kind of like him though.
What's that?
You kind of like him. You kind of were sticking up for Lionel Hollins.
Well, right. I mean, I don't think he's a good coach, but I'm just saying like there's no coach in the world that could have, with that roster, could have done anything. Like, it's just, they have, out of all 30 teams in the NBA, their roster may have the least amount of talent on it. So like, I was kind of surprised they decided to fire him at this point. And like,
I mean, if you combine in,
I don't know what they think a new coach is going to do with that roster. And since they've traded away all draft picks since 2074, you know, it's tough to see how Brooklyn's going to turn this around. So,
yeah, no doubt. I mean, we know they're willing to spend, but there's not a lot of talent there.
And this is the problem with salary cap leagues. Okay, you want to spend, but you really can't. You know, it's like you can only spend so much, right? There's a salary cap. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, they've shown a willingness to pay the luxury tax to the point that other teams aren't willing to pay it. But you've got to have a base. You've got to have some teams, or you've got to have some players there to build around.
Correct. And yeah. I mean, I guess they could keep building around Joe Johnson. That would be.
Oh no.
it's a very odd move. And in terms of like how it's going to, you know, with a new coach coming in there, really like what's that new coach going to do in terms of shaking up that roster or like giving more minutes to who? It's tough to see from a fantasy perspective, you know, who's going to be, you know, big time beneficiaries. Is like Donald Sloan all of a sudden going to be a star? Like, you know,
I think it's worth talking about because, you know, Jared Jack went down a little while ago. And I think we all assumed that Shane Larkin was going to step into that role and be the starter. And since he's started for four games now, he's played 28 minutes per game. So probably not the type of playing time everybody wanted. He's averaged 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. That production is down quite a bit from his per minute production, his per possession production from earlier in the season and from other places in his career. This is basically like one of the worst stretches of his career. So I don't know if that's just because he's playing a starter's minutes, he's the primary ball handler, or if he's just had a bad week. But Donald Sloan has had some good games. And we saw Donald Sloan be a useful player last year in fantasy leagues when he was the starter for Indiana. His last game was his most the most productive game. He had 15 points, 10 assists, 2 3-pointers, 2 rebounds in 24 minutes. So yeah. I guess I would ask you what you think is going to happen, but nobody knows what's going to happen. Like, I would ask you what are you doing about this? Like, are you picking up Shane Larkin? Are you dropping him? Are you picking up Donald Sloan? Are you dropping him? Are you picking up both of them? Do you care at all?
I think for the most part, Shane Larkin has been picked up. I don't know what his current ownership level is in most leagues, but I think he's been picked up in most leagues by now. So,
but I think he's been picked up and dropped in a lot of leagues.
I think he's already been dropped again too. So, if he's available in a league to me, I'm not going to go out of my way. Like, I'm not going to pause the show right now and just ignore you for the next 5 minutes and try to pick him up. Like, that doesn't really interest me. Mm-hmm. Like, but if I already own him, I probably would stick it out another couple games. Like, I mean, there could be a couple different things in play. One could be, this is the first time he's actually up against starters, right? So he's now being guarded by better players. He's also got to feed, you know, he's also now with that starting unit, and he's got a. I'm surprised the assists not being higher worry me.
Well, and the thing that really is surprising to me is that the steals aren't higher. Like, that's always been probably his best category.
Correct.
And even this season where he's only played 20 minutes a game, he's averaging 1.3 steals per game. These last four games, he's only has four total steals in the extra minutes that he's playing. So I don't know. It could just be an adjustment. Like, he's adjusting to all the things that you've been mentioning. I'm going to go in right now and quick look at the teams. He played against Boston, which isn't a great, you know, that's probably the worst team. You would know better from DFS than I do, but I would think that's one of the worst teams to play against if you're a point guard.
Correct.
Probably the worst. Do any of these other ones make you nervous? Toronto, Orlando, or Detroit?
Toronto is decent against
Lowry, you would probably say
Detroit, because Detroit plays at such a slow pace, not a good matchup for point guards. Orlando is decent, but none of those are easy matchups. It's not like he went up against the Lakers or Philly or
and Orlando is actually where he had his best game. He had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, and three-pointer.
I mean, we should point out, none of these games did he play 30 minutes. So that's a concern to me. I thought he would, you know, kind of crack that mark. But so either way, it looks like, you know, Donald's going to be getting at least 20 minutes a night. And the last game, like you said, they basically split minutes with Donald having a – I don't know why I'm calling him just by his first name, Donald. I tend to do that a lot, by the way. But
you sure do, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's my thing. Me and Donnie go back. But so –
You might be more famous than Donald Sloan.
Who might be?
You.
Dude, why you got to – dude, Donald Sloan, man. He was a baller at one point. In college, he was really good, I think.
When was that?
I totally made that up. I have no idea what college he went to. I don't know if he was good. I don't even know if he went to college. Yeah, I know, like, very little about him, except he made me a lot of money last year in DFS for a small stretch. But, like, the one thing we do know about Shane Larkin is he's not that good. He's not that talented, like, just right. In general, right? So, like – even though he had a couple of good stretches earlier this year when Jack got in foul trouble and went down a couple of games, or even he had some good games playing alongside Jack, you know, he's not an elite talent. So
he's not even a good talent.
Right. So it's not that surprising that he's not, you know, going crazy, but I still expect his numbers to go up a little bit. If I owned him, I would hold Pat for a couple more games again, because look, if you can get a starting, you know, point guard this late in the season, I think there's still value in that. So,
particularly one who projects to be strong in assists.
Yes. So, you know,
per 36 minutes, this season, he's averaged 6.5 assists. So he should be able to get you 5-6 assists pretty easily. He's only been at 3 so far this season, but, or since he moved in the starting lineup, but I don't think that I'm giving him another week. If you're asking me, I think you give him another week, see if it turns around, or see if this new coach plays a different style, or maybe you'll find out that he's not the starter anymore, in which case it will be easy to drop him. But
yeah, I mean, you know, you could come in and the new coach could basically, you know, start Donald Sloan I will say, I really do think Shane Larkin is a better, he's more of an energy guy, you know, like he's more of a hustler. He is more of a guy who'd be better suited coming off the bench. He's not a starting point guard in any way. So,
no, but there's Donald Sloan.
Well, that's the problem, right? So they don't have a legitimate starting point guard. But I wouldn't be shocked if
Larkin on
the bench. But like, yeah, so yeah, wait and see what the new coach does, and go from there. But you know that there's value in getting a starting point guard this late in the season. So you know, and he does have upside with that horrible team. And when you do change coaches, most guys do see it. You know, teams usually respond for 10, 15 games, you know, play a little bit better and play a little harder and all that good stuff. So maybe this will have some type of positive effect on Larkin and some of the other Brooklyn guys.
Yeah. Speaking of those other Brooklyn guys, one guy I was keeping an eye on was Joe Johnson, just to see if, you know, with Larkin as the point guard, maybe Joe Johnson would take a bigger role in the offense, maybe some more ball handling duties. He's had a better last four games, but it hasn't really come in the assist category, which was what I was waiting to see. He's basically just shot the ball better. He's shot 37% this season. He's up to 48%. There's a million reasons that could explain that. I don't know if it's necessarily he's a different guy with Larkin on the court. And he's not getting more assists. He's averaged 3.7 this season. He's only averaged 3 assists since Jared Jack went down. So I don't know. again, you know, I said my recommendation at the time that Jack went down was maybe pick up Joe Johnson and see how he does for a few games, see if something sparks with him. I guess where they've got a new coach, it's maybe worth to hold on to him another week and just see. But if you need to drop him for somebody more valuable who has more upside, I think you're totally fine to do that too.
Yeah. And me, like all my players are required to have pulses on my teams.
Right.
I cannot own Joe Johnson, but like he's getting 35 minutes a game. So, which is shocking. And if there's one player who I do think minutes could drastically reduce as that Brooklyn season goes on, it's Joe Johnson. So,
and if you are holding him, like the minute that happens,
yeah, maybe you're holding him for threes right now, what other reason would you be holding him? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden Joe Johnson's that 35 minutes changes into 25 in like,
yeah, you know, and then he's gone. Yeah,
there's zero reason to be. And first of all, maybe in 25 minutes he would look better because he can't play that many minutes. So it's just. It'll be interesting to see what this new coach does with you know, dividing up the minutes.
I guess so. We should tell people who the new coach is.
I don't even know who it is. Yeah, tell me.
Let me look it up for a second.
While you're looking that up, I should say before the show, I was serenading Mark with some Britney Spears songs.
Tony Brown. Everyone's favorite interim coach, Tony Brown.
Mark, why did you interrupt my beautiful Britney Spears story?
I have no good reason. I apologize.
That's okay. I forgive you. But I want all the listeners to know that Mark is not a fan of Britney Spears, like in any way.
No. You asked me if I thought she was a good singer, and I said no, she's not a good singer.
No, you felt the need to tell me that immediately when I told you I liked Britney Spears.
That's true. I'm not a fan.
Right.
That's I did acknowledge that I thought she was a good performer.
All right, so let me ask you this, though. What, do you have is there one Britney song that you do enjoy? Any?
I can't say that I do.
Or can you name, like, how many Britney songs can you name?
Probably less than three.
Let's hear them.
I know Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Dang right you do. We all know that
and,
one.
And Lucky, right? Wasn't that one?
Oh, such a good song. Yeah, that was one.
And Slave. That's one, right?
Late for you, yes.
That
was close. I'll give you credit for that.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, good job.
I know that she shaved her head at one point.
Yeah, she did that as well. Yeah, she went through she bounced back nicely. She had a very rough patch, and then, and she bounced back. She was basically like kind of like Stefan Marbury, where she went kind of went crazy, and she had like a rebirth in China, although she stayed in the States. But you know what I mean. She had a nice second act.
Do you remember the video where Stefan Marbury was eating Vaseline on camera?
Dear, no. What?
You should go check that out.
Oh, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Not like a music video. Like he just posted a video of himself. Yeah,
he was just talking and eating some Vaseline. And
yeah, he was certified. Who do you think is more certifiably insane, Marbury or Gilbert Arenas?
I thought you were going to say Britney Spears, and that was going to make it a more interesting question.
No, I'm going to get back to basketball for the time being.
I think I think Gilbert Arenas is more insane, but like, I think he's aware of what he's doing. Like he's clever. He's more clever. Like I think Marbury is totally disillusional. Is that a word?
Yeah. Well, disillusion.
Delusional is the word I think I'm going for.
That's a word.
Like I think Gilbert Arenas has a lot more self-awareness, but is still crazy.
I mean,
what's your take?
I tend to agree with that, except when you bring 38 guns wherever, to your locker room and then,
Yeah. I just think he thought he was smarter than everybody else.
Your NBA career at like, 28 or 29? Like, that's not really being self-aware. But yeah, I mean.
But he got paid every cent of his contract.
He did.
So.
How old was he when he was basically blackballed out of the league? Was it under 30?
I think so.
And now I'm forgetting, like, with Arenas, and we'll get back to the good stuff on Houston in a second. But, like, I forgot when Arenas, so when he obviously had those horrific injuries, right? I forgot, was it microfracture? Yeah, what did he have? What's that?
Remember. I think they were knee injuries, but yeah, I don't remember.
Was he like back up to being like an all-star caliber player before he went? Maybe you're right. Maybe he brought the guns on purpose because he knew he couldn't play anymore.
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the timeline of that whole situation.
I know he never got back to being like as, you know, as good. At one point he was like a legit top five guard for sure. But I don't remember, but yeah, I'm not sure how good he was at, you know, towards the end before he went crazy with the guns. Anyway. All right. So you were saying,
I don't think he ever fully recovered from those injuries. He never played. So he played, and this could be why, in his second season in Washington, he played 41 minutes a game, played 80 games. And then the next season, he played 42.3 minutes per game for 80 games. And the next season, he played 74 games. He played 40 minutes per game. And then he never played above. He had one season about 5 years later. Where he played 49 games in Orlando, but he never really played above 30 games again.
Yeah, this is what me and you were talking about like last week, right? Where it's like when you look back at minutes played in like the early 2000s to whenever in the 90s, like players regularly averaged over 40 minutes a game. Like it was like, you know, whereas nowadays, like,
but
you know,
in 2005, 2006, he averaged 42 minutes per game.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's insane. I can't believe they did that to him. And then, believe it or not, he had knee problems after that.
Well, also, this is what I imagine. This is what I imagine Tom Thibodeau does every night. He just goes back to like years like that, and he looks at players who played like over 40. He tries to find whoever played the most amount of minutes, and he just starts drooling and, you know, getting, you know, I don't want to say aroused, but you know what I mean. He's very excited. That's basically what, that's how Thibodeau spends his days right now.
Wishing that he coached in those time periods.
Yeah. I mean, oh, unbelievable.
Anyway.
I think DiCaprio won the Golden Globe tonight for The Revenant, which I want to see.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Anyway, so you were saying for who's the new coach for Brooklyn? Some guy named Brown?
Oh, my goodness. Now I have to go look him up again. Tony Brown.
Tony Brown.
He is a...
How old is he?
He's 55 years old. He's 6'6".
So he's a player, probably.
And he played in the American professional basketball. He's an American professional basketball player. I'm reading his Wikipedia. Played at the University of Arkansas.
Oh, he's big. He's tall. I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah. He was selected 82nd in the 1982 draft.
By the way, have you ever played in a fantasy league where, like, you'd have to draft coaches?
No.
Like, I did in an NFL one where you basically got, I think it was 5 points if that team's if that team won each week.
That's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, I think that we should do a league next year where you have to draft a coach.
I'm good with that.
And like, but we'd have to figure out
what happens if they get fired. Like, what if I picked Lionel Hollins?
It would basically be you get Brooklyn for that year.
I think you should get nothing because they got fired.
But we could also negotiate. You know, we could discuss maybe. Yeah, maybe if that's how you want to do it, we could do that.
You lose 200 points for drafting a coach that got fired.
Imagine how much of a killer that would be if you're like, if that's the reason why you lose your league.
Yeah, because you stupidly drafted Lionel Hollins.
Yeah.
So.
Because it would be a strategy, right? That because you weren't. You didn't really want to get a top-notch coach. So, like, you did it strategically, thinking that knowing you're not going to get a lot of points, but just he just can't get fired. That's the one thing that can't happen.
Right. So yeah. I tried to do this one time in a different way in a league, and it kind of worked. So there was a bunch of different elements to the league. Like, it was – you've probably heard of this before where you do a mix of head-to-head and rotisserie.
Yeah.
Or like – there's you get a certain amount of percentage for winning rotisserie, a certain amount for winning head-to-head. We also had a where you took each team's over under, and you got to pick three teams to either go over or under, and the number that they went over or under. Like if you pick, let's make a concrete example. If you pick the Brooklyn Nets and their over under was 25, and they actually won 30, and you picked them over, you got 5 extra points.
Hmm.
And I think we also rolled March Madness into it somehow.
Oh yeah, see that? Then you're going too far.
It was crazy.
Actually, you tell me. Then you got Triple Crown races. Then you got some NASCAR.
It was all basketball, but it did include March Madness. All right. Next thing I want to talk about was preparing for Week 12. So the most important thing everybody needs to know is that Brooklyn and Toronto on. Let's see, which day of the week is it? I'll get this for you guys. I think it's Thursday. Let me confirm that. Yeah, Thursday, Brooklyn and Toronto play in London. Luckily, the Raptors, they have to play a – no, it's Orlando is playing the home game in London. So they only have one game that week or this week. So if you own anybody in like a weekly lock league or there's some guy near the end of your bench that you don't really want to have to deal with this week, like if you picked up Aaron Gordon and you don't really want him for more than a week or two, you probably ought to drop him because – or Terrence Ross or somebody of that ilk, because they're not going to do a whole lot for you this week. Other things to know, the Clippers and Sixers only have two games. So really between those four teams, like if you're in a weekly locks league, it's basically Chris Paul and that's it of the players that you'd want to stick in your lineup. Maybe DeAndre Jordan, if you're punting free throw percentage. I think that's, by and large, there's no teams with five games this week. And if you want to help with your setting your weekly lineups, don't forget to go check out on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Week 12 rankings are up. We rank all the players 1 to 400. We've got rankings by position, so you can see who the best point guard is. Daniel, you want to guess who the best point guard this week is?
The best point guard this week. Steph Curry.
Yep. What about the best shooting guard?
Harden.
Harden. Ding, ding, ding. What about the best small forward?
Kawhi.
Kevin Durant comes in number one for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kevin Durant comes in. Let's see, I'm looking for his. Oh, he comes in number two overall. Kawhi Leonard comes in number five overall. So very close. They both have four games. Power forward?
Dre Day, or Paul George, if you count Paul George.
I want to give you credit for when you say Dre Day, who you talking Draymond about? Draymond Green.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he could be a small forward.
The problem is we use ESPN's.
Yes, he's probably a small forward. Then
he comes in a small forward, but I want to give you credit if he comes. He would be number one. So Pau Gasol was listed number one, but he's 14th overall. Draymond Green's 8th overall. So I'm going to give you credit on that one.
You're very kind.
Yeah. What about center?
For power forward, I knew that the Pelicans only have three games, so AD wouldn't be the highest power forward, right?
A little bit. Yeah, good job on that one.
And I will say for power forward, if you have Chris Bosh, he's been balling. So like I see, he must be high for power forward, right? Miami plays four games this week.
And he's a center, but he's third overall. Yeah, my buddy Karl Anthony Towns is second.
Of course. He should just be defaulted first. And the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.
It should say him number one on every single ranking, and then Steph Curry number two at point guard.
And when you click onto the website, his face should come up. Like just towns everywhere. Or I think we should have, you know, various towns across the country, like, you know, should come up. You know, like what's your favorite town?
My favorite town?
Yeah. And what is it?
What's the definition of a town? I don't know.
I was going to say, what's a town? Like what? Is it a town just a smaller version of a city?
I don't think you could call New York a town.
No.
In fact, I don't think you could call Boise a town.
No, it'd be it's just a smaller version, right? So like, yeah,
I think it has to be pretty small. Like, I think I grew up in a town. I grew up in Preston, Idaho, which is, I think, a town.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So you'd have a picture of Preston, you know, and yeah. Where's a, and like, I think, you know, what would be smaller than a town? A village?
No, a village has a different connotation. I think a village is like
the olden days.
Yeah, I think you maybe don't have the internet if you live in a village.
So not many people live in villages anymore.
A community, like right, like a is a community smaller than a town?
Well,
community also has a weird connotation.
Yeah, I think of like people sitting in a circle of like a community or holding hands. Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Do you want to guess who's the number one center? It's not Karl Anthony Towns. It's not Chris Bosh. It's not DeMarcus Cousins.
Brooke Lopez.
Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
You bet, man. If you want to see where your guys rank, you can go check out the rankings on the website. Once again, dailyfantasybasketball.com.
I will say, like, one thing I was looking at while you were doing all the hard work on the show is that Shane Larkin, what do you think he's owned right now in ESPN?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's one of the things that's on the rankings. In ESPN leagues, he's owned in 20% of leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's really low. So, I mean, like, after this podcast, I think I am going to pick him up in a league or two. Like, that's really low. I mean, especially with the coach getting fired, he does have that upside. So, like, I think he's worth taking a flyer on for one more week.
Yeah, hold on to him for a week. If it doesn't work out, you can always get rid of him. We're not in the playoffs yet. Let's see. Daniel, you want to talk about Zach Randolph?
Well, I just want to say, like, keep your eye on the Memphis situation. Randolph's looked really good the last couple games. Tonight he was a monster. I mean, he had 25 points, 13 boards. And the most important thing for me is he played the most minutes for Memphis. He played like 38 minutes. And I was watching part of this game, and he looked, you know, I think the time off he had a couple injuries. He now finally looks healthy. And, you know, he had some rest. He just looked fantastic.
Let's tell everybody how good he did tonight. He scored 25 points. He had 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 1 three-pointer.
I mean,
that's a solid line.
That's pretty impressive. Now, we'll say they played Boston. Boston's a front court that you can attack, and so it was a great matchup for Randolph. But
I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Boston really, I mean, with Fat, you know, Gravy Sullinger or Kelly Olynyk, I mean, like, dear God, I mean,
you hate Jared Sullinger, don't you?
I do. I actually do. I mean, like, I really do loathe him because I think he's just a fat, lazy bastard. Can I say that on there? I just did, but I'm saying it. Like, he's just like, and I've even read articles in Boston where he's, you know, he's just, you know, they've tried their best to kind of like
tell him. Try to get him into shape. And he doesn't.
And like conditioning drills and, you know, and especially in the off season to kind of keep his weight down. And he refuses. And it just, it boggles my mind. Like, why, you know, why wouldn't you do it? Like, you know, like, you only have such a small, limited time.
I'm excited to see your reaction this offseason when he gets like a 3-year, $25 million contract.
Whatever. I mean,
you know, so Randolph's production, back to him, has been a little bit spotty. So last game, the game prior to this against Denver, he had 24.6 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Denver, another team that you can definitely take advantage of in the front court.
OKC, the game before, he had 12.6 rebounds. I think he might have, looking at that blocks production, you want to guess how many blocks he has? So he has 5 blocks his last 2 games. You want to guess how many blocks he has, including those 5 blocks, his whole season? Would you say over or under 10?
I'd say under. I'd say like 8. Yeah.
He has 7. Wow, that's really good. He has 7 total blocks.
Yeah.
Including those 5 from the last 2 games. So I guess I would say I don't expect the blocks to continue. If they did, he's going to be, like you said, a monster.
Yeah, who do you think can actually jump higher, Randolph or Gasol?
Oh, I think Gasol for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I will say this. I think we missed out on talking about Zach Randolph during our discussion about who would be the best NBA bodyguard. Because I think he's my answer.
He's too slow. No, he's too slow. And also Randolph would get distracted and he likes to smoke up a little bit. Yeah, you know, he would
you
not.
You don't have to be fast to be a bodyguard. That's true.
Pekovic is not exactly like svelte of foot. But I mean, but Randolph also is known to, you know, use some of the weed. So I could see him just, you know, kind of in a day or a glaze or a blaze, whatever.
He doesn't do it on the job. He'd be fine.
Really? You don't think? I could totally see him doing it on the job. I mean,
he's my pick.
Yeah, really over like Pekovic?
Yeah, I'd take him.
Someone else.
I feel like he's a meaner streak than Pekovic.
I don't know. Like, to me, Zebo always seems so nice.
I think he's got a mean streak to him.
He does have a mean streak. I've seen it.
So we had a few recommendations on Twitter. The best one I can remember that we didn't bring up, and it's because I forgot that this guy was even in the league, was Ron Artest.
Yeah. But you said an interesting nugget right there. If it was Ron Artest, I agree. Not this Meta World Peace guy.
Well, what about Panda's friend?
Was that his third name?
I think that's his current name is the Panda's friend.
He didn't get legally changed to that though, right? I think he said he was going to, and he never did.
Yeah. Okay.
But the funny thing is about Meta World Peace, like. And I listened to a podcast in LA, Mason Ireland, and a couple others actually. So, like, he's so well respected right now and like such a good teammate and everything. He's the complete opposite of quote unquote Ron Artest. Like they're actually talking that he'd be like a great NBA coach. And this is like, there's talk of like around the NBA. Can you like how, like if I would have told you like the, you know, right, like, you know, like a year, the year of the, you know, the, what is it? The Malice in the Palace or whatever that was, that guy could be a future NBA coach.
I would have laughed pretty hard at you.
I mean, you would have laughed harder at me than when you saw me, you know, you saw my picture on when we FaceTimed yesterday. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like his transformation has been pretty amazing. It's similar to, everything comes full circle, Mark. Similar to Britney Spears. She went crazy. Oh, no. She went bald and then she, you know, has now rebounded nicely. But Meta World Peace, I mean, like, it's pretty amazing what he's done. Now, granted, he sucks at basketball right now because he's old and can't move him. But, you know, besides the point.
All right, back to the NBA.
Yeah, stop getting a sidetracked, man.
Yeah, it's definitely my fault so far.
Yeah. So Zach Randolph.
I'm going to look up his ownership percentage.
Well, yeah, and remember, so who's starting in front of him? Jeff Green, who's just
Matt Barnes, isn't it, usually?
Well, it's Barnes Barnes and Green are the other two got forwards, right? So who's playing the three?
So they can theoretically move either to the bench.
Right. And both those guys are just enigmas, and we've seen what they can do too. So, like, Randolph could consistently, you know, get
20. Randolph's still owned at 90% of ESPN leagues.
Wow, that's shocking. What are you idiots doing in these ESPN leagues? I would have dropped Randolph weeks ago.
Aren't you telling people to own him now?
Well, now, but like weeks ago, I would have been way off him.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't you? Unless you can stash him on like the IR and you were, you know, right. But I mean, like, anyway, so like just watching him play though, it looked like a guy who had maybe he's doing some HGH or something, because he looked like it was like the Randolph of 4 or 5 years ago. It really did. So,
oh my goodness,
it was impressive. And with Mario, with Mike Conley out, Chalmers was a really nice play for me. I streamlined him this week in a couple leagues, and he fills up the stat sheet nicely. So if Conley continues to be out a little bit, don't be afraid to pick up Chalmers. And he was getting monster minutes, exceeding close to 40 minutes a night with Conley out.
Yeah, so he had started for basically the last two games he played, and then the game before that in Oklahoma City, he played 38 minutes. So
yeah.
Past three games, you're right. He's been, let's see if I can pull up his last three games average. So he's averaged last four games, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.5 steals, 2 3-pointers. So he's putting up a lot of shots. He's only shooting 35%. But
yeah, the field goal percentage was the only kind of thing that sucked. And the turnovers weren't great either.
He's putting up big numbers.
Yeah, you helped me win a league this week. I mean,
I've got a lot of questions about him, and I guess I would say, unless you think Conley is going to be out for an extended amount of time, I'm not too excited about.
Chalmers. Yeah, I'm not too excited. Just remember,
streaming him is an excellent play. But other than that, I don't know.
By the way, I think I said I was streamlining him. Is that even
you accurate? Did?
What's that? What does that even mean?
I was going to wait until we got off air, and I was going to ask you.
I'm just gonna go with it. Like that's my new term. Yeah, you guys can stream players. I'm gonna streamline them. It's like an extra analysis, an extra layer of analysis I do before I.
Doesn't streamline mean to make a process?
kind of less
efficient.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like we're gonna streamline the process. That's the term. That's the sentence it's always used in.
Yeah.
But so like you know, and Conley's out with an Achilles. That's a scary injury, you know. So. Chalmers is an intriguing guy, and even when Conley comes back, maybe they limit his minutes a little bit. So just keep your eye on Chalmers. He's a nice play, fills up that stat sheet, does a lot of different things.
Yeah, the other guy you wanted to talk about, and it's probably worth talking about some other injured players. You wanted to talk about Derek Favors.
Well, no, really, I'm just so frustrated with that guy. Now he's been out 10 straight games with a back injury, so it's been tough. I mean, but. He's allegedly day-to-day, and like from the listening to the beat writers via Twitter and a couple articles I read, you know, regarding Utah, he's like really, really close. He should play this week. So hopefully you guys, you know, still have him and you didn't, you know, jump off a bridge or anything. But I mean, him being out. Here's
the thing, because they played five games last week. And so I have him in a weekly locks league, and I locked him in because I thought,
yeah,
he should play some of these games. You know, yeah. Even if I get three or four, that would be great. He got zero. So what do I do with him this week? Like, do you think he's worth,
you know, putting
your lineup and hoping, or do I just sit him down until he actually comes back?
I mean, I like
Utah has three games, by the way.
Yeah, they have three.
Yep. So I'm probably sitting him out.
I'd probably sit him down. I mean, like, just from how angry I am at him personally at the last 10 games, I would want to sit him down. But objectively, from everything that I've been reading, like, he should play in their next game. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, I guess. But I am surprised. I am shocked he didn't come back last week at all. Like, I mean, Rudy Gobert, for God's sakes, came back last week. So
yeah, it was good to see Rudy back.
Yeah. So, I mean, Favors, though, is allegedly on the cusp of return. But yeah, I guess with a three-game week, if it is a weekly lock, especially if when
and they don't play until Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I would say even, you know,
since so we're not going to get any news on Monday if he's going to play or not.
Yeah, and I would say with him sitting out those many games, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they want to, you know, put him on some type of minute restriction or minute limit when he comes back. So
plus he's going to have to earn his spot back from Jeff Withey,
which, let's be honest, is that even possible?
That's not going to be easy.
No. You're talking about, this could be a Derek Favors. Now he's up. He's trying to get sixth man of the year. Cause you cannot wrestle that job away from Jeff Withey. It is not possible.
Have you used Jeff Withey to your advantage yet in DFS?
In DFS, yeah, a couple times.
Thank goodness.
Not a lot, though. But I have a couple times. I mean, Jeff Withey, man, he's consistently mediocre. He's just...
Oh, man. Doubling down on the disses for Jeff Withey.
Consistently, I know what I'm going to get with my Withey. I'm going to get a
nice... You hate Jeff Withey still. What did Jeff Withey ever do to you?
Nice consistently mediocre game.
This is...
No, what do you mean? That's pretty good. I said he's mediocre.
Did he cut in front of you at line at some point in your life, or?
No, but I do want to
your parking spot.
No, I'm in New York. I don't drive anymore. I do miss driving though. Should we talk Houston Rockets?
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about the Rockets. So again, we're getting back here to where we're going through. Each NBA team, we're going to look at their players that we think that you should be building your team around, your fantasy team around, the players that maybe you should think about stashing. I know Houston has a good one of those. And then maybe the players that haven't panned out as well and that you should definitely think about dropping at this point. So the easy ones here, Daniel, James Harden's been excellent this season. 28 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, almost 1.5 steals, almost 3 three-pointers. Shooting a poor field goal percentage, but other than that, he's been basically one of the two or three best players in fantasy this year.
Which is, it's so, I'm not going to disagree with you. It is funny you say that because in real life, he's been so bad. He's been so bad.
What do you mean?
In every way. Like offensively, he kills that team offensively. What's that?
What do you mean offensively? Because I think he's been fine offensively. I think he kills a little bit of a bad rap.
He destroys that team offensively by not moving the ball, by just, you know, ball dominating, doing isolation, which is, you know, in the new evolved NBA that should not exist anymore. You know, he refuses to get other people involved. Defensively, don't even get me started. He's just a train wreck. And he's dating the Kardashian, you know.
He's not dating a Kardashian anymore.
What do you mean? They broke up?
I think she left him for Lamar Odom.
No, she didn't. No,
I think she did.
No, she was on Ellen and she explained the whole story.
Okay. Oh, I haven't caught up on my Ellen.
She's basically like duping Lamar. Lamar's like, she's like allegedly goes to the hospital and like sits with Lamar, but like, no, like she doesn't, but like, she's only there to support Lamar. She's not like with him. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And she still remained, with James Harden, who's been allegedly very supportive, which should make all of our heart, all of us warm and fuzzy inside.
So, we're not here to talk about. We'll move on
from Harden.
I think he's been a little better offensively than you.
And his shooting has just been god awful.
It's been quite poor. Yeah. Dwight Howard's probably their next best player this season, which kind of shows you where their season's been. He's kind of come around as far as fantasy value, just because he's not taking the bulk number of free throws that he used to take that destroyed your value. He's still bad. He'll still hurt your team a lot, but it's not quite as bad as it used to be. You know, back in, 2010, 2011, he was taking 12 free throws a game. Now he's only taking 6 free throws a game. So that 53% that he's shooting is not quite as bad as it used to be.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and Dwight's coming on, man. The last 2 weeks, 38 minutes, 22 points, and 14 boards. Yeah. And not to mention, you know, one steal, one block, shooting 70%.
So, yeah, I mean, he's still, for the season, he's shooting 62%.
Yeah.
He's grabbing 12 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, one full steal per game. So, no, he's had a very good season. I would say from a fantasy perspective, this might be one of his better seasons, just because the free throws, like I said, are not as bad as they once were.
Right.
All right, moving down the list here, Trevor Ariza. What's your take on Ariza so far? Because he was coming into the season, I had him pegged as one of the most underrated players, and he ended up going, his average draft position in Yahoo leagues was 46th. I want to see what it was in ESPN leagues real quick. Pull that up. ESPN leagues, he was 81st, and I think I had him as a top 30, 40 player.
Yeah, I mean, Ariza to me is basically like he's been Joe Johnson on steroids this year. and not even like a high dose of steroids, like a low dose.
It's just been enough that he has a pulse?
Yeah, enough that he can make it up and down the court and last throughout the game. But like you look at their minutes, almost identical. Like about, they both get like 34, 35 minutes. They both get about 11 and a half points. You know, Ariza's a little bit better because he gets a little more threes. You know, I think the rebound, they both get about 4 to 5 rebounds. They both get one to two assists. Ariza, the one thing that he's still doing really well is steals. He's getting like close to 2 steals a game, but shooting 39%, which is abysmal. He's just been a train wreck this year. He's been a waste of space. I loathe the guy in terms of what he's done to my fantasy team. I have him on one of my teams. With that said, you probably still want to own him.
Yeah. So even as bad as you think he's been a top 75 player this season,
but which is crazy, right? Because like you listen to these numbers again, and how is this not Joe Johnson? Like 34 minutes, 11 and a half points, the 2 3 pointers are nice, 4.9 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 1.8 steal, 39% from the floor.
It's the 2 3 pointers and almost 2 steals a game.
I guess that's it, right?
We talk about a lot of different guys who do steals and three-pointers, but nobody, even all those guys that we've talked about, I'm thinking like Robert Covington and Camp Bazemore and probably a few other guys as we go through things. Nobody's quite as good at those two categories as Ariza is. He's really, really good at both of them.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that makes him useful in fantasy, even when he's destroying your field goal percentage and not giving you,
you know, the rebounds definitely help.
See, this is what pains me, and I agree. But
yeah,
you're getting 35 minutes. Come on, get more than 4.9 rebounds. Like the ball is going to fall in your little basket 3 or 4 times a game. Just like I don't. Granted, he just stands by the 3-point line. But yeah, I mean, so you know, a down year in my opinion for Ariza. I think he's been abysmal, but. Still, you want to own him, and not much else to say. But
I think he's starting. Like I think you got him as one of your starters in basically every fantasy league. Still, even though he's been a little bit disappointing.
And I will say, the last 2 weeks he's been better. I mean, he's been close to almost three 3-pointers a game. You know, getting you about 12 points a game. So we'll see.
Do you want to guess who has been Houston's fourth best player this season?
Clint Capella.
You better believe it, man. Clint Capella. He's only played about 21 minutes per game. He's averaging 7 points, 7.5 points, 7 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, and 1.0 steals. Obviously, exceptional defensive stats for the limited playing time that he's played. He's been a top 125 player so far this season. And you know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know I am in favor of continuing to hold the guy at least until the trade deadline. I know the minutes aren't huge, but he, you know, he's started for how many straight games? Probably 15 or 20 straight games. The minutes haven't been huge, but I just, I guess I can't see that. I can't think anybody else on the waiver wire is as good as this guy is, or at least has the potential that this guy has, that it, when he does get minutes, or if he does get minutes, to outperform him.
I'm trying to see what is what's his current ownership right now in the ESPN league.
In Yahoo leagues, he's at 20% right now.
In ESPN, he's at 25%.
Yeah, so he's available in most every league.
He's such an interesting player to own. I mean, like, so I have him in one league.
Did I talk you into picking him up? Did you do that?
I'm not sure if you talked me into it. I mean, certainly you didn't hurt. I mean, God, Mark pre-show, it's just Capella.
I text Daniel about Clint Capella at least four times a day.
It's like Towns gets 20 texts a day. Withy is about 12, and then Clint's about, you know.
What, no, Clint Capella is definitely above Withy. There's no question there.
No, I disagree. No, like Withy. No, I think you text Withy to me like even when you're sleeping. It's just like, so, you know, unconsciously you do it. You love Withy so much now. But no, I mean, if for those who don't remember, I mean, Mark does think that Clint Capella. I gotta stop with his first name. Every time I call someone by their first name, would you like jump through the computer screen and punch me or something? It is annoying.
We can work out something like that.
It is annoying that I'm doing that. So for Capella. Mark does think he is you and correct me if I'm wrong. You basically think he's Hassan Whiteside 2.0 or Rudy Gobert 2.0 or a combination. That kind of upside.
I think he can have that kind of upside, or I think, you know, 90% of that kind of upside if he gets the playing time.
Right. So I mean, like,
and I think that there's a very likely chance that either Houston does something drastic where they move Dwight or they move Capella or Dwight gets hurt. You know, we've seen that before too. So I think there's a roughly 50-50 chance that Capella gets a role where he's playing 30 minutes a game. And if he gets that sort of a role, then you're looking at, like, I don't know, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 1.5 steals, and 2 blocks, which would, in some cases, win your league. So I think he's worth holding on to until the trade deadline. And the good part is, like, even though 7 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1.5 blocks isn't amazing production, it's good enough that you can keep him in your rotation. You can play him until you see how this all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, the biggest issue is minutes, right? So, like, in the last, like, 20 games, he's only hit 30 minutes, I think, twice. And he's been
even though he's starting.
Yeah, and he's been under 20 minutes, like, I'm trying to do this quickly. I mean, you know, at least 4 or 5 times, and he's usually in like the low 20s. So, right. And it probably averages out into that low 20s.
So he's at 22.
But even with that said, you know, like today I was joking with you. I was like, Capella, a great 19 minutes. You know, I said that like jokingly, and then I looked at the stat line. You know, and today he put up in 19 minutes, he gives you 3 steals and 2 blocks, which, you know, only 6 rebounds, but still, like, that's pretty nice to have. You know. So, like, I'm holding on to him in my one league, you know, but I'm praying that there's some shakeup with Houston, like you said, Dwight gets traded or whatnot. I don't think the upside. I agree with you; it is there, but, you know, the question is, will it be realized this year? It's tough to tell, you know.
Is there anybody else that you think is worth?
Wait, hold on. Just for the record, so you're all on board. If Capella's available, you want to snatch him up. Is that your position?
Send me your if you've got Clint Capella, I'm buying all the Clint Capella stock I can.
Interesting. All right. And my position is, you know, if he's out there, take, you know, look at what your team needs and give him a strong look. But by no means, I don't think he's a must player, but he does have that upside. So
no, see, the problem is that when that 50-50 chance comes through, say he gets traded to Boston or Philadelphia or somewhere, he's going to be the starter.
Wait, if he gets traded to Boston, you think he's going to beat out Fat Gravy Sullinger?
I think they're going to look at him and be like, this is the first starting front court player we've had in years.
It would be actually, if he got traded to Boston, that would be actually a really good fit.
Or, you know, wherever he goes to a place, he gets traded to a place where he's a starter. There's going to be somebody else in your league who beats you to picking up Capella, most likely. So you've got to pick him up now, hold on to him for a little while. rotate him in because he's getting enough steals and blocks that you're going to be just fine, and rebounds. And if it doesn't work out at the trade deadline, then you can make the decision that you don't want to have Capella on your team. But what I don't want anybody who listens to this podcast to do is be like, I wasn't sure Capella was going to – anything was going to happen, so I didn't pick him up, and now he's beating me in the playoffs. Because he's averaging 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. One thing that I actually do is I wait to about – depending on which my position in the league and where I stand, I'll wait until about a week or maybe 2 weeks before the trade deadline. And if there's players who I think have the ability, like a Capella, that might get traded, and if I have a roster spot where I, could basically have a little leeway, that's when I make the move to pick those guys like that up,
Yeah, that's not a bad – and listen, if Capella was getting 15 minutes a night and averaging 5 rebounds and a half a block and a half a steal, that's what I would tell you to do with him. But he's not hurting you to have him on your team right now. Like, if you're rotating him in, you're going to be just fine. And then if he blows up after the trade deadline, even better. All right. Is there anybody else that you feel like is worth a stash on this team? I don't think there's anybody else who's a clear starter.
Well,
is there anybody else that you're hoping?
This is a guy that, like, everyone always sleeps on. No one ever talks about him. Maybe it's just because he's little. I don't know. But Patrick Beverley, like, we talked about already, like, owning a starting point guard. It's just nice to own.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Larkin.
The problem here is to kind of go against what you're saying, I guess, is Patrick Beverley isn't really the starting point guard on Houston, right? Well, like, Harden is the point guard.
Correct.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think he does have fantasy value.
Yeah. So Beverly's a guy, I own him in a league, and every week I do look at it and say, do I want to keep Beverley? But I continue to do it. Now that I'm looking at his numbers, maybe
I think he's a straight stream option. I think he's good at a couple of things. He's pretty good at three pointers. He's good at steals, so he's another one of those type of guys.
That's the reason why I was holding on to him. When looking at his numbers, and the steals are actually he's averages 1.2 on the year. Mm-hmm. And like to see that a little bit higher.
Well, and it has been the last, six games or so, or three games, he's averaged 1.7. It's a little better. He's gotten some more three-pointers. Oh, you okay?
Oh, you actually heard that noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just my phone dropped.
I thought you fell out of your chair or something. You were so excited about Patrick Beverley.
Beverley could never make me that excited.
I think he's just a stream option if you need those three-pointers or steals. There's a chance once in a while he gets a few more assists than that. And last, I don't know, 5 games, he's had 6, 4, 3, 7, 4 assists. So he's averaging 4.5 or 5 assists, which is pretty good. So if you think that will pick up, but he's not a guy I want to own permanently on my team.
Yeah. I mean, I'm basically going to drop him in one of my leagues.
Sure. The other guys that are owned in a lot of leagues from Houston is Terrence Jones and Ty Lawson, both owned in roughly 50% of ESPN leagues. Things are not going well with Ty Lawson. I think you're fine to cut him loose. He's averaging 6 points, 4 assists in 25 minutes a game, and he's obviously dealing with the second DUI suspension, or first DUI suspension this year, but one of multiple DUI suspensions in his career.
That definitely was the worst trade of the offseason, don't you think?
Well, they gave up nothing to get him. So,
but I mean, still, like, with given that, like, you know, they actually thought it was going to be a move to make them like a championship contender, yeah,
and it didn't do that.
No,
So, going to
Terrence Jones,
I'm okay dropping him. He's averaging 9.5 points and 4.8 rebounds in 23 minutes per game.
God, am I okay dropping that guy? Just a bumbling buffoon. He's costing me so much money in DFS, whenever I try to play him this year as well. It's just not.
And to be fair to him, it's mostly a minutes thing.
Well,
right?
Bickerstaff hates him. Yeah. Like, Bickerstaff does not like him at all. And he's not getting the minutes. Like, the minutes just are not there.
Now, his per 36 minutes, I think you could make a similar case to Capella. He's averaging 15 points, 7.5 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, and 1 3-pointer per 36 minutes this season. That's similar to basically his entire career. So again, if he gets traded, he'll be worth picking up. I guess the reason I don't treat him like Capella is because he's just never been able to secure a starting role. Like, he's had plenty of opportunities and it's never worked out for him because of injuries or performance or whatever else. So
yeah, I mean, Mark,
I think it's less than a 50-50 chance he gets a starting position at any point.
That's what I'm saying. Even if he gets traded, like, I wouldn't rush to pick him up unless, like, I could easily see him getting traded and not starting and not playing big minutes. Like,
same thing. Like, this is like the Boston test. Like, if he got traded to Boston, would he be a clear-cut starter? No, he's probably just going to play 20 minutes off the bench David Lee and Amir Johnson and everybody else there.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he's still 50% owned. Like, you guys in ESPN leagues, get with it. Like, you can move on from him and get someone useful for your team.
Totally agree.
So,
all right, Daniel, I think that's a wrap for Houston. Is there anything else you want to mention before we close down for today?
Like about life, or what do you mean?
I don't know. Anything you want to departing thoughts? I guess.
Hold on. Let me look at the real quickly. Look at the games for tonight and see if anything stands out that I feel like our listeners need to know about.
This is riveting, by the way.
I was just gonna let the silence linger and see how long it would go.
That's
So Utah played the Lakers tonight. What do you think the final score was?
I'm looking at the box score. It's 86-74.
Man, you're no fun.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So
I didn't want to lie to you. I didn't want to try to guess it close and then.
You should lie. I am surprised that Portland beat OKC tonight, 115-110.
Yeah, that's kind of sort of surprising.
And I guess and I would like to point out that, you know, Lillard, I was really worried about with that plantar, you know, whatever he had, if he had plantar fasciitis or not. He's come back with a vengeance. He took a long time off. But since he's been back, since he's been back, he's been just balling out of his mind. So tonight, you know, 31 points, 8 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Did have 7 turnovers, but still, it's a monster of a game.
And Russell Westbrook, he didn't have a bad game either going against Lillard. He had 25 points, 15 assists, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 three-pointers.
I mean, like, how great are Westbrook and Durant, though, just for fantasy?
Really good.
Unbelievable. So, all right, I guess that was a
– all right, let's wrap up then. Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to the show. If you did, please rate and review it on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you listen to it. And enjoy watching some basketball over the next day or so. I don't know for sure if we're going to be back on Tuesday with the podcast, or it may be Wednesday. It depends on our availability. So – watch for our next podcast either the next day or two. Enjoy some basketball between now and then, friends. Later.
Later, guys.